Today is Saturday, the 31st of December 2022, and the very last day of the year for this calendar year. And this is the 63rd session on mindfulness for beginners, organized from the Nisvaranavanaya Forest Monastery. And I would, on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, who is participating to today for today's session, representing Nisvaranavanaya. So with that, I would also like to welcome with much warmth all the participants participating in this session through Zoom, as well as listening in through the Facebook page of the Satipatthasala Foundation. So our program agenda will span as first the in-session mindfulness practice guided by Venerable Bhante, and they will pro then we will proceed on to the Q&A discussion, and after that with a slight introduction on how to commence mindfulness practice in your own home, we would then proceed to the talk on mindfulness and then wrap up the program, providing some space again for questions on the talk itself. So with that, I would like to invite with much respect for Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Hello everyone. Now today we will take some time to do a mindful listening session. I thought that we can do a mindful listening session today. For this you have to just make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your seat if necessary. Then you can close your eyes gently and be aware that you are sitting. Now I have a bell with me, a singing bowl. I would ring it and you just try to listen to the sounds that it's making. From the beginning to the end, we will try to listen to the sounds that this singing bowl is making. Once those sounds are over, simply see, simply notice what comes to your field of awareness. Maybe you start to hear the sounds from your surrounding, nature sounds, various people talking, working, vehicle noises, those sounds may come to your field of awareness. Just simply allow them to come and go while you being aware. That day we will try to be mindful for a few moments. Now you may open your eyes again. Now this is just few minutes of mindful listening to the surrounding. Now this is a good tool, mindful exercise you can practice in your day-to-day life. Let's say you are in a stressful situation. You can simply listen to surrounding for a few more minutes. That way you can relax yourself. Let's say you are working in your office and you are exhausted. You can take a small break, close your eyes, simply listen to the surrounding sounds. That way you can practice mindful listening to the sounds as a relaxing way, relaxing exercise. So that's the idea. Try to experiment with this, try to practice, try to take it as a tool. Then you can see for yourself whether it is beneficial. Okay, now, Amanda, with that, we can move forward.
Oh, thank you very much, Marit Panthi. I will next invite Sonali to present the report received for today and also to conduct the balance of the Q&A discussion. Over to Sonali. Thank you.
Sarai Bante. Thank you, Namantha. We have only one report today. I will start with that. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and closed eyes gently. The primary object, breath, noted just inside nostrils as cool air in and warmer air out. Noted upper body moving back and forth soon after, but attention returned to the sensations of breath again. The novelty of upper body movements seemed to have reduced over the last couple of weeks. No temperature change noted between in and out breath. Now, some thoughts arose and passed away. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breathing for a while. Then multiple streams of air seems to move in a circular motion about an inch outside the nose. It was difficult to distinguish the in-breath from out-breath around the nostrils now, but knew that the body was breathing, for example, noted rise and fall of stomach. Thoughts appeared from time to time, but knew these would pass away sooner or later, and they did. Breathing noted alternatively as movement in chest, subtle rise and fall of stomach, and as subtle air movement near nostrils. Sat for 55 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Now it is easier to note when the attention leaves a task at hand. For example, the focus was on the sensation of clothes while folding them. And all of a sudden recognized that the mind had moved to thoughts of past events. This happened two or three times while folding clothes. And each time the attention returned to the sensations and movements of task. There is less judgment of this process now. Another useful observation made during last week was the unending nature of the worldly tasks, such as working, cooking, cleaning, washing, and a multitude of other regular tasks that keep on demanding attention. While this information was known already as an idea in the mind, now it is becoming more of an experimental understanding. Observe the very small returns on each higher investment. For example, hunger noted while doing chores around the house, and when it couldn't be ignored any further, stopped to prepare a meal. It took half an hour to prepare it, but less than 3 minutes to eat it. Then there was still washing up and tidying up to do before returning to the chores. Such high effort for such low outcome. Shame noted with cleaning, shopping, working, seemingly never-ending rotations that are so time-consuming. While in a similar situation 2 days ago, choose to make something simple which required little time, effort, and ingredients to prepare. The demanding part of the mind was unhappy with this simple choice, but it made sense to the other part of the mind to save time when possible and invest it in self-awareness and in the formal practice. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and much merit to the organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. As you can see, when we practice mindfulness, let's say when we practice mindful sitting, we can notice the in-breath. We can notice the out-breath. That is how we start, right? But when we continue with our observation, when we continue for a while, we can see how the breath is changing. And with time, probably the difference between the in-breath and the out-breath, it disappears. You can see it disappears. And that's observation is there, right? So it's a sign that even in the world, we think, we value things separate, differently. Right, some things we value more, some things we value less. Right, so this difference is disappearing. That's the idea. That's the idea of the practice. If you value something more than other things, then of course it will create difficulty in your life. Other things you will refuse, other things you will reject while valuing certain things more. So this is happening all the time in our mind. We select one object over thousands of others, right? One mind object, we select over thousands of others. Let's say you see sights from your eyes, you hear sounds, you feel bodily sensations, then various thought processes are there. Among all these things, you pick one. You value one more than the rest. So this is happening all the time. That's why it says, it feels like inside our mind, there are multiple egos trying to fight each other, trying to win over others. This is happening all the time. Mahavir, he is saying we are polypsychic. Not just simple ego, but we have multiple egos inside us. According to our practice, we say mind objects, mind and the objects. So objects are fighting for attention. Sights are there. They are asking for our attention. Colorful, vivid sights come and they try to grab our attention. Sounds are there. Beautiful sounds are there asking for our attention. Then various bodily sensations are there, taste, smells, then various memories, emotions, mind objects are there, right? So these things are asking for our attention. They fight each other trying to get our attention. So this is how the world is. This is the world that we create inside our mind, and we select one over the other gang. We pick one over the rest. So this is happening all the time. When you meditate, we give you breath to observe. You start observing, you see the in-breath, you feel the out-breath. You continue your observation, and with time, you realize the difference disappears. Difference between the in-breath and the out-breath, it disappears. So it is similar to disappearing the difference between mind objects. We are usually valuing one thing over the rest. But when we meditate, this difference disappears. We, with time, with training, we value all the things equally. That's the difference that will happen. That's the improvement by meditating, by practicing. Again and again you meditate, again and again you practice, and you start to value things equally. Instead of valuing something more, you'll value all the things equally. So that's the idea of the practice. That's where it will lead us. And when you value things equally, you can enjoy the journey rather to destination. Usually we are enjoying the destination. We want to reach there. You want to reach there. That is our goal. That is our target. But when you value things equally, instead of reaching somewhere, instead of enjoying the destination, you tend to enjoy the journey. So that's why even day-to-day practice, you can see this is repetitive, utterly repetitive, various things you do, right? 30 minutes for cooking and 3 minutes for eating that meal, right? So if you value certain things differently, then you will never be happy, because majority of the tasks are menial. They are repetitive. Again and again, we are cooking. Again and again, we are brushing. Again and again, we are washing ourselves. So instead of valuing something differently, instead of valuing a destination, we try to value the journey. We try to appreciate the journey. So each and every task that you do is your journey. So that's the idea of the practice. You value things equally and you start to value the journey instead of the destination. So whatever the menial task that you do, whatever the repetitive task that you do, you try to do it wholeheartedly, paying attention to that. Right? So that way, that is the way to be happy. That is the way to truly be happy. Otherwise, you'll always be frustrated because you are going for a goal, going for a destination. Those things come once in a blue moon. Rest of the tasks are menial. Rest of the tasks are repetitive. So if you don't value them, if you don't appreciate them, then you are going to suffer. That's why we say whatever the task at hand, try to do it wholeheartedly. Try to appreciate it. Once that task is done, you go to the next one. And again, you try to appreciate it. When that is done, you go to the next one. Again, you try to appreciate it. That way you can do your main repetitive daily tasks and try to value them. You can do 101 things. You can do these menial things while valuing them, while appreciating them. So that is the idea of the practice. When you practice, you can see the difference between various objects disappear. The first sign is that the difference between in-breath and out-breath disappears. They become equal. You don't value one thing over the other, right? The difference between sounds, bodily sensations, thoughts disappear. You value all the things equally. Initially, when we practice mindfulness, we say mindfulness of breath, mindfulness of the steps. That is how we start. But gradually you realize object of mindfulness doesn't matter anymore. You simply continue with your mindfulness. Objects may change. So the mindfulness of sounds, mindfulness of thoughts, emotions, mindfulness of bodily sensations, mindfulness of heights, various things are there. Objects change. But the mindfulness prevails, it continues. So this is the idea of the practice. The difference between various objects disappear. We don't value certain things over other things. Everything becomes equal in value. So whatever the task that you do, whatever the activities that you have to do, menial, good, repetitive activities, you simply value them equally. You do the task at hand wholeheartedly. So that's the idea. When you continue again and again, you can see you are starting to value the journey instead of the destination. And valuing the journey is the way to be happy, way to be truly happy. So continue. Try to do this menial task while appreciating them. Take the task at hand and do it wholeheartedly and try to appreciate it. They could be repetitive, they could be menial, but still, again and again, you are doing the task at hand and try to value it, try to appreciate it. Do it wholeheartedly, then move to the next one. Again, do it wholeheartedly, move to the next one. So this is the very practice. Try to practice and you may share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. That's good advice for all of us. That's the end of report. So I will give some time for anyone to ask questions. Please raise your Zoom hand and I will let you unmute yourself. I don't see any hands raised. Bhante, I've got a question from the session this morning. The mindfulness session this morning, you were telling us to listen to the sounds, which I very intently did, and it was a very windy morning in UK here this morning, so there were a lot of sounds coming from the nature. So my technique for sort of mindful listening has been usually to give this sound a label. So I could move on from that and not be in it, but I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. So I would give like, oh, that's wind, or that is my wind chime, and I kind of move on from there. I'm not sure if this is right or not, but I did find a flaw in that kind of technique that I'm using, because when Bhante made a noise from something which I didn't know what it was, I couldn't see what it was, I didn't know what it was, so I found myself dwelling on that for a little bit longer, saying what is that sound. So I don't know if this is the right technique to do or whether I should be not thinking of it at all. I'm not really sure, so Bhante, your advice would be good.
Right, so when being mindful, especially listening to the surrounding sounds, we allow them to come and go naturally. We don't have to label them. Labeling is useful in the beginning, but when you mature in your practice, you don't have to do it anymore. Because when it comes to sounds, especially sounds, then they are not long lasting. They come, they stay for a while, then they disappear. That is the nature of the sounds, right? So we can be mindful because they are just appearing, disappearing, and they don't last very long. Thoughts are different. Thoughts might take a while to disappear, and you can, you know, start overthinking, thinking, and even for few minutes, you can continue with the thoughts. But sounds are not like that, and simply just come and go. They last only split seconds, right? So that way you just simply listen to them. You don't have to label them, trying to identify the sounds. It's good that you couldn't identify the sound that I made, right? That way you got stuck, you got confused whether this is the right way. You can simply listen without trying to label them, without trying to identify them. If you can do that, that's the best practice. If we are identifying the sounds, if we are labeling the sounds, then we are not present. Because while something else is happening, you are labeling the sounds. You are identifying the sounds. You are getting confused and thinking, what is this sound, right? So simply listen to the surrounding. Simply allow your attention to fall freely. Right, it will go freely, attention will flow freely, and sounds, various sounds may come, especially if you are in a city, if you are in a car, traveling, driving, then of course you can hear a lot of sounds. right? If you are in a position to just close your eyes and listen to the surrounding, then 1001 sounds are there. So they come at a high rate. You can't simply pick one over the other. They just appear, disappear, appear, disappear. So many sounds are there, right? And simply allow that process to happen. Allow the sounds to flow and be aware. That is the idea. So that's why it is so relaxing. You are not trying to do anything. You simply pay attention and just allow these sounds to pass. Right? In a busy environment, 1001 sounds are there. If you try labeling them, then it's really difficult, stressful. Instead, you simply allow them to flow while being aware. Traveling, probably in a bus or somewhere, right? You can listen. So many sounds are there. Vehicle noises, people talking, probably traffic, various other things are there. So you can simply listen to it. Allow it to flow naturally. Then let's say at your workplace, if you are really tired, you can simply close your eyes and simply be. Try to listen to the surrounding sound, and you can hear various people talking, working, typing. Various sounds are there. Simply be aware. So that's the idea of mindful listening. You don't have to label them. You just have to control it. Allow the sounds to flow naturally and be aware. That's the idea. That's a very good way of practice. And when we listen, we can see, we can feel that whole world of sounds are there, right? If you go to nature, if you close your eyes and simply listen, you can see a sound world, various birds, different sounds, then sound of the wind, sound of the trees, sound of various other creatures, whole different world. So simply we just sink in that world and just be. So that's the idea. Try to experiment with it. Try to practice. And labeling is some way stressful, especially if there are so many sounds. It is difficult to label them. So this way, I think, is more relaxing. You can experiment and see.
Thank you, Bhante. I think I was also trying to kind of control the situation in a way. Like you said, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I can see a few more hands up. Would you like to ask your questions? Is it Hiranti? Would you like to unmute yourself and ask your question first? Hiranti, would you like to unmute yourself?
Okay, I managed to. Thank you. Tiruan Sanai Bhante. So that means every sound you just note it, or just let it, just like a thought, we just observe it. Is that, I wasn't very clear regarding the previous answer, Bhante, Sonali's question.
Yeah, simply you just close your eyes, sit comfortably, allow things to flow naturally. And just be aware, right? When you be aware, you can hear various sounds from your surrounding. Sometimes you may feel your bodily sensations and thoughts appearing, disappearing. Various things are there. You just simply be aware. That's the idea of the practice. And if you can add your experience, probably mindful sitting, walking, try to do this and share your experience. That will be the way to proceed.
It's the same for thoughts as well, isn't it, Bhante? When thoughts comes, you just observe them and let it go, isn't it? Isn't that the way?
For you, I would recommend something different. Right? For you, I would recommend trying to observe your body more and more. Trying to observe your steps more and more. That is how you should be starting. Yeah. Try to go through our beginner's guide you can we'll be sharing after a few minutes. You can go through those videos, try to experiment with that practice, then try to share your experience, right? That is how you should be proceeding. It's a gradual process. Asking questions won't help. You have to experiment it for yourself, right? So that's how you're proceeding.
The videos.
Yeah, I think Namantha or Sonali would be sharing those links to the basic instructions, mindful walking, sitting. You can go through them. Try to practice during the coming week, every day, 15 minutes of mindful sitting, 15 minutes of mindful walking. Try to start like that. Then continue for a few days. By next Saturday, you can be practiced like 5-6 days, right? Then you can share your experience. Then we can give you some advice. Again, you practice. Like that, you have to continue for some time. Then only you will understand the real practice. It's a gradual process. It's evolving. So for a beginner, we give some guidance. For an experienced yogi, we give some other guidance. Then you listen to both. It is contradicting. That's true, because the practice is evolving. Practice is changing daily. So you have to experiment with yourself. You have to experience yourself. Then only we can answer.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Hiranti. We will be sharing the beginner's guide. Namantha will be sharing it soon. We have two more hands raised. Gihanta, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Good morning, Bhante and everybody. Two questions refers to Bhante's remarks about the gradual development of the practice. You mentioned, Bhante, that one of the objectives is that as you develop your practice, the difference between how you value things changes. And you said that as you progress, you start valuing everything equally. And that raised a question in my mind, because in life, sometimes, or most times, the difference between things is really important because you have limited time. So if I give you an example, when I woke up this morning, you know, I could have slept more if I chose to do that. I could have read a book or watched TV or done something else, but I chose to listen to this session. So if I, you know, if I have limited time, there were other commitments too, but because I value this mindfulness training session above everything else, I chose to do this rather than do something else. So for me, the difference and the value I place on different things is important, because without that, it is impossible for me to choose something to do. And if I, you know, if I valued everything equally, then I would be confused, because I wouldn't be able to do anything properly. And it's that differentiation that helps me to place a value on something and do it. So that's one question. The second one is around the journey. And Bhante, thank you so much for what you said. You know, most of the times we are always concerned about the destination and not worried about, and we don't really value the journey. And I think with what you have said, yeah, that's so important to enjoy the journey. But also the destination is important, right? Because otherwise you'll get to a destination that you don't aspire to. So I think, you know, again, we make choices in life, and it's important to know where you're headed as much as the journey. So those are my questions and comments, Bhante. I would like your feedback. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, although they appear as two different questions, it's the same. It's the same question that you're asking, right? So destination or the journey, value something over the other things, right? So this is how we start. This is the beginning. This is the starting point. We think we have to value things differently, and that's how we survive. Then we think we have to think about the destination. That's how we survive, right? So this is how we start. This is the starting point. But when we practice, you realize probably within months, within years, you realize that when you value things equally, your journey, your life become more and more blissful, right? It's a gradual process. I know where you are coming from. I had those questions as well. You know, when I started, I had those questions. I had so many goals. I had things that I valued more over the other things. That's how we all start. But when we practice little by little, initially with the practice, the difference will disappear in your mind. That's what I said earlier also. This happens in our mind. It is happening all the time. We select one over the other things, right? That process gradually changes, and you can see in your sitting practice, in your walking practice, you start to value things equally. With that gradual change in your daily life also, you start to value things equally, value things similarly, right? So that's how the practice will grow gradually. As you say, initially we think that we need this desire, let's say desire, we need desiring, right? We need desire to survive. That's how we begin. In a way, you are correct. We need the desire for the practice as well. If we don't have desire towards the practice, then we won't be doing it. So in a way, it helps in the beginning. But when you reach a certain distance in your practice, it gradually disappears. It gradually disappears. There's this analogy of climbing a mountain is given, right? It is asked that you should have desire to climb the mountain. Otherwise, you won't spend time. Otherwise, you won't spend energy. But when you climb up, gradually that desire is disappearing. And when you are on the peak, you don't have that desire anymore. Now you are enjoying the view. Now you are enjoying the surrounding. Right? So that's how it will evolve. Gradually, this desire will disappear. And initially, we think that we can't survive with this desire. If we are not having that desire, if we are not desiring, then how can we survive? That's the idea. That's the usual thought pattern. Worldly thought pattern, we can say. But with time, we realize when we have no desire, that is the best way of surviving. That is the best way of surviving. And that will come gradually. That will come gradually. And when you have no destination, you start to appreciate the journey so much. When you value things equally, you could be happy due to even very little things in life. How can we value your morning cup of coffee? How can we value listening to bird sounds? That is not possible in our way of thinking. But when we practice more and more, we start to value our morning coffee more and more. We start to value the surrounding bird sounds more and more. And that way of living is always blissful. Because you don't need high achievements to be happy. You don't need high achievements to have peace in your mind. Let's say high achievements bring you peace. Every now and then they will come. Once in a blue moon, probably this type of achievements come. So rest of the time you are suffering. Rest of the time you are running after these things. But if we can value our morning cup of coffee, if we can value the surrounding bird sounds, then we will be always happy because those things are not difficult to find. They are always there. That's why we say when we practice more and more, we start to value little things in life. Your morning cup of coffee, the surrounding bird sounds, or like wind that is blowing, you can see 1001 things that you can appreciate in your life. That is the gradual way of practice. And when you practice more and more, you realize you can live even much more peacefully without this desire. You can be more and more happy, peaceful without this desire. Initially, we think that we can't even survive without this, but gradually you realize that this has been the obstacle all alone. And when that disappears, you are happy. When that disappears, you are truly peaceful. So that's the idea of the practice. That is how it will gradually develop. So continue with your practice and you can really experience this for yourself. How you start to value little things in life. How you become more and more peaceful in your day-to-day life due to these things. How you become more and more happy due to these little things. And how you can survive even much better without desire. How you can survive even much better appreciating this journey instead of the destination. So that's that type of a difference you can understand yourself with time. My only input is that continue with your practice. Reserve some time for formal meditation. Try to be mindful during your daily activities as well. And continue for a while. Continue for a few months, few years. And with time, you can really experience this for yourself. Right? So otherwise, we feel like it is suicide. Psychological suicide. This type of a practice, we are trying to get rid of the desire. We are trying to value things equally. We are trying to appreciate the journey instead of the destination. So for a worldly mind, it feels like psychological suicide. Similar to becoming a monk, you know. That's the same thing, right? Suicide psychologically, because get rid of the entire life. Even give up hair, clothing, and just become a bald-headed monk. Psychological suicide. But when you spend some time, when you continue with your practice, you realize now you have nothing, but you have everything. Right? Now you don't have any job, but you are doing so many things. This is the way of valuing things equally. This is the way of appreciating the journey instead of the destination. So with time, you can experience this. Try to continue and you can see for yourself.
I hope that answered your question, Gihanta. We have one more hand, one more question from Panchani. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Hello, Bante. Terwan Saranai. Can you hear me? Bante, I just wanted to say where I am in the practice, the suffering part is definitely disappearing. I am reacting every now and then to things, and I am aware that I'm reacting, but the next moment there's no suffering, like I'm back to being peaceful again. So I sit down to practice, but it's the same as my like day-to-day living now. Like there is nothing different between the sitting practice and the day-to-day living. Is it because I am not practicing correctly, or I don't know what I'm sitting to practice, because I think I should sit to practice, but I feel like it's the same.
Okay, so that's what we have been talking today. Now when we practice, the difference disappears. Initially, the difference between the in-breath and the out-breath, it disappears. Then the difference between other mind objects, it disappears. Then the difference between walking, sitting, daily activities, it disappears. So in a way, you are meditating all the time. In a way, the life becomes meditation. So that's a really good thing. If you value sitting differently, then still your practice is not up to a certain level. Of course, for a beginner, we say sit, right? Of course, beginners, they don't have that experience. They don't know what to do. We ask them to sit for a while and try to be mindful. We ask them to walk for a while and try to be mindful. That is how we start. Even the questioning, we can really see this person hasn't practiced. So you have to tell them, okay, walk for a while, sit for a while, daily continue for a few weeks, few months. That is how you can develop your practice. But when you practice for a while, when you probably like within few months, few years, you can see that the difference between the sitting, walking disappears. Difference between the daily life versus the sitting disappears. So in a way, your life becomes a meditation. Instead of just sitting meditation, you just meditate all the time. That is the true way of meditation. Because otherwise, you just sit for 1 hour. You just walk for 1 hour. How about the rest of the time? 22 hours more in a day, right? So how about that time? That time too, you can meditate. Even while sleeping, if you fall asleep mindfully, then the practice will protect you during the sleep time. It says, if you fall asleep mindfully, the mindfulness will continue till you wake up. And you are protected, your mind is protected during the sleep time as well. So that's the way, and your life becomes meditation, right? I'm not saying that day-to-day friction will be there. You have to maintain this body, you have to feed it, you have to do other things, you have to do your daily tasks. So they won't disappear. But the suffering part will disappear. As you mentioned, the bodily pains are there, but the suffering will disappear. Now, even I am suffering with something these days.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, illness. So I was wondering, now the bodily aches, pains are there. And the suffering build up over that. I have to get rid of this sickness. It is getting worse and worse. Those thoughts are there. Then when I pay attention, the mind is there, bodily aches are there, you don't have to build on it. So they ask, why add to this pain? That is the question asked. Why add to this pain? Right? The bodily pain is there. Why add to this? When we are not mindful, naturally it adds. I have to get rid of this sickness. I have to be better soon. There's a program whether I can do it or not. So those thoughts are there, right? That's the suffering. It builds up little by little. As soon as you pay attention, the pain is separate. The suffering is separate and your mind is peaceful. So that's the idea of the practice. So the question is, why add to this pain? Bodily pains are there, aches are there, day-to-day friction is there. But the suffering part is added with our mind. Thinking, 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 worrying, worrying, worrying. That is how we add the suffering part. So with the practice, we can't get rid of the day-to-day friction. Bodily pains are there. Sickness will come to this body, right? You have to maintain this body. You have to earn a living. So those things are there. Even Buddha had to go through those things. Even he had to face illness. After even becoming a Buddha, he had to face illness. Sometimes it was unbearable. Thankfully, nobody asked. Thankfully, nobody asked Bhante whether it's bearable or unbearable. Nobody asked, right? But difficulty is there. But if there's no suffering part, then you are fine. You can survive. The suffering part is the one that is more and more difficult. When you add to that pain, it is becoming really difficult. You can't bear it. That's why in modern days, You every 40 seconds, there's a suicide in this world. Every 40 seconds, one person kills themselves. What is the reason? This suffering part. They add to that pain. Then within few months, within few years, they become depressed and they kill themselves. If you can get rid of this suffering part, life is manageable, life is bearable. That pain will be there. Day-to-day maintenance you have to do. These problems will come. Sometimes you have to do 101 tasks. You have to do your job. You have to do your responsibilities. Various things are there. But still, if there's no suffering part, you can survive. This pain is bearable. So that's the idea of the practice. So you are progressing. You should be happy about it. You should be happy that there is no difference between the sitting and day-to-day life. You should be happy that there is no suffering in your life. You are getting rid of suffering. When more, pain will be there. You can't get rid of that. With this human birth, you have that. It is given. With this body, it is given, right? So just with the practice, you just get rid of that suffering. Being present, that's the idea. When you be present, there's no space for suffering. Either going to the past, either going to the future. That is how the suffering is generated. That is how the suffering is created. So continue. And when you continue, you can see it is even reducing further. Now you have experienced it for a while. You have experienced the difference. And when you continue, it will reduce further. And you will be more and more peaceful due to that.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you for that question as well. Thank you, Bhante. We've had, I don't see any more hands. Thank you for all the questions and the answers for all of us who are at different stages of our meditation journey. And I will hand now back to Namantha to continue the rest of the session.
Thank you very much, Sonali. Thank you very much, Bhante, for that excellent session. Next is to share the information for a beginner or for an experienced practitioner to come back to as a practitioner when developing mindfulness practice. So I will share the screen. So I think you can all see the 5 points listed about mindfulness practice. There are two videos on YouTube which you can watch and gain a complete idea of the basis of the practice, what to do, what to observe, and how to maintain focus. Secondly, so once you watch those, you can gain a basic idea of how to start it. And then secondly, you can allocate time starting from about 10 minutes a session to about 1 hour per session. So that will be 10 minutes of mindful walking and then another 10 minutes of mindful sitting practice when you start, and then you slightly increase it, say 5 minutes each week or each month, and you extend it to 1 hour of mindful walking and 1 hour of mindful sitting. That's the idea. That's the best 1 hour blocks. Then you can do this for a few days, and the third point describes what to expect to observe during each of these sessions, and you will see some blurring phenomena happening that you don't see the sensations with the contrast as high as normal. You will see that the contrast is getting diluted and you are seeing things are blurred and you don't recognize with too much distinction between certain events that happen on each session. That is quite normal. So when that happens, what you do again is try to see what you get to observe. So you can write the report based on what your experience and observation is. So if it is walking, how you started the walking, where your attention was placed, and what were the disturbances, and when it returned, when the focus returned to the object of intention, how did you happen to notice this? These are the things that you can write. Secondly, on the mindful sitting practice, it's about the breath, any disturbances on focusing on the breath, or whether there were any other sensations that became prominent. These are the things you need to observe and write into the report. So when things are getting blurred, again, you can start writing the report again. Then you will see, even though in things are blurred, you can see subtle distinction through the blur. That's the idea. That's why this is so powerful method of practice. Fourth is the point on how to send the reports. You can send it through the form, a link there, or through the email beginnersnv@gmail.com. NV is for Nisarane. Then fifth is about the past sessions of this program, which are updated, uploaded into the website. So I will put each of these links into the chat section after the presentation. While this is intended for a beginner as a guide, even for an advanced or expert practitioner, which you would be by now if you have been attending more than 30 or 40 sessions by now, then it will still be good for you as a basis to come back to when you feel something is different from when you started. So with that, I will stop sharing the screen. And next, we will go on to the talk on mindfulness practice. So I will invite Venerable Bante to commence with the talk on mindfulness for today, on for the benefit of all of us. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Okay, Namant, I think we can take probably like 15 minutes today to explain a little bit more about the practice. Now, when we explain the practice, we say try to be present, try to pay attention to the present moment, try to be present. That's what we say. But when you really try, when you really pay attention, you realize it is somewhat difficult. Your mind naturally goes to the past, your mind naturally goes to the future. That's what happens. That is why you need to reserve some time for the formal practice. We say mindful walking, we say mindful sitting. And while doing them, you are supposed to pay your attention to a bodily sensation. Probably the breath that is going in and out, you can pay attention to it. Probably while walking, you can feel your feet, how the feet is touching the ground, how the weight is shifted from one leg, between one leg the other. You can feel these things. And you are advised to pay attention to a bodily sensation, a bodily sensation that is prominent to you. While walking and sitting, you try to observe it again and again. You try to observe more and more breath cycles. You try to observe more and more steps while walking. This way, you train your mind to be present. When you observe a bodily sensation, you are utterly present. When you feel your breath, you know for sure that you are present. When you feel your steps, or when you feel the sensations of your palm, you know for sure that you are present. That is why we always recommend these bodily sensations. When you know that you feel your bodily sensations, you know for sure that you are present in the present moment. Bodily sensations can't appear from the past or the future. It is utterly present. That is why in this practice, we simply pay attention to your body. Try to observe your body. Simply notice the sensations. Again and again, that advice is given. Reasoning being, when you observe your bodily sensations, you are utterly present. That is how we start our training. Gradually, we try to observe more and more breath cycles. We try to observe more and more steps. And you realize in between these breath cycles, in between these steps, again and again, the thoughts are appearing. Again and again, the mind is going to the past and the future. this is happening. But again and again, you are advised to bring your attention back to the breath. You are advised to bring your attention back to the steps. That is how we start our practice. Then even your day-to-day life, once in a while walking every day, probably daily you are walking few kilometers. So you are advised to observe few steps every now and then. Know that you are walking, know that you feel the steps, observe how the weight is between moving between one leg the other, and just be aware, pay attention. And while doing some other activities, while taking a shower, while drinking something, while having your meals, try to be aware, at least for a moment or two, try to practice that awareness. So in a way, you are training yourself. In a way, you are training your mind to be present. The natural behavior of the mind is getting lost more and more. That is the addiction. That is the current behavior of your mind. So it is trained to be in the past or be in the future. It is trained to ignore the present moment. That is how the current addiction is. But when you train yourself to be present again and again, not just a day, not just a week, few weeks, few months, when you train yourself, that new behavior become habitual to your mind. Gradually, your mind adapts to the new behavior. It is naturally starting to appreciate the present moment. This is how the practice will allow you to change yourself. Now, earlier, scientists, they thought that after few initial years, the brain won't change. They thought that only during the childhood, the brain will grow. After that, it won't change. But now they are saying, till you die, the brain is always changing. Neuroplasticity, they say, whatever you practice again and again will become habitual to your brain. Whatever that you avoid doing, it will vanish from your brain. So in a way, you are trying to introduce this new behavior to your brain or to your mind. What is the new behavior? You are introducing being present. Instead of being in the past, instead of going to the future, you are introducing to this mind how to be present. That's why we say observe more and more breath cycles. Observe more and more bodily sensations. Observe more and more steps. When you do that, in a way, you are training this new behavior to your mind. Every breath you are observing mindfully, every step you are observing mindfully, every bodily sensation you are observing mindfully, you are training your mind to be present. It is life-changing. Every breath, it's life-changing. Every step, it's life-changing. Again and again, you bring your mind to the present moment. Again and again, you train yourself to be present. What is the reason? Now we have been discussing even today, we have pain in our life. Certain bodily difficulties are there. Certain difficulties appear from the outside. Various things are there. Your expectations are not met. Various things happen. So usually it is natural that we create suffering over these things. When you have a bodily ache, you suffer due to that. When some expectations are not met, you suffer due to that. When somebody don't do what you approve, you suffer due to that. This suffering is utterly coming from the past or the future. Not from the present, not in the present. It's either from the past or the future. thinking mind, we say, when you start thinking again and again, the suffering appears. And that suffering is only coming from the past or the future. So that's why we say, as long as you are present, you are peaceful. As long as you are present, you have pain, but you are not adding to that pain. That's why again and again they are asking, why add to that pain? The pain might be there, but why add to it? So that's the secret of being present. When you are present, the pain could be there, but there is no suffering. The suffering is coming either from the past or the future. Again and again, you train your mind to be present, to appreciate the present moment and not go to the past or the future. That's why we say every breath that you observe, you are changing the behavior of your mind. You are introducing this new behavior. Every step that you are observing, you are changing the behavior of your mind. You are introducing a present moment to your mind. Even your day-to-day life, every sip of tea that you take mindfully, every bite that you take mindfully, you are introducing this new behavior to your mind. That way, we train ourselves again and again. And when we train ourselves, habitually, our mind will accept the present moment. Gradually, the mind will accept the present moment. More and more it accepts, it will be peaceful. Pain will be there, but you won't add to that pain. More and more it appreciates the present moment, more and more peace you will have in your mind. That's why when you train yourself, you can really see you are calm and peaceful. There's no reasoning. Just simply you are present and you are calm and peaceful. And naturally your mind is accepting the present moment, appreciating the present moment. That's why even after a few weeks of practice, some people come and they share their experience and they say that my mind is naturally present. My mind is naturally appreciating the present moment. I can feel the walking body. I can feel my breath while doing your day-to-day activities, while running somewhere, while being exhausted. In your office, you feel your breath. You feel your body walking. Naturally, your attention comes to the present moment. Naturally, your mind is present. That is the result of repetitive training. That is why we say you have to train yourself again and again, not just a day, not just a week. Few weeks, few months, few years, you have to train. Initially, we set a target for a beginner. We tell them, try to practice 10 hours. Formal meditation, mindful walking, mindful sitting. Try to practice 10 hours at least. Then they come and say, okay, I have tried for so long. I have tried for a month. Now I have covered 10 hours. What should I do next? Then we say, try to practice 100 hours. Then even after a few months, probably that person will come and say, okay, finally, I have done 100 hours now. What should I do next? Then that I should be, try to practice 1,000 hours. Then that person is even more disappointed. He goes away, again start practicing. Again, start practicing and finally covering 1,000 hours, he'll come and say, okay, I'm not even bothered to tell you, but I have covered 1,000 hours. What should I do next? Then that person is advised to cover 5,000 hours. Then again, he goes away after a few years. He might come and say, okay, I have covered 5,000 hours. He is not even asking the question, what should I do next? Then he is advised to cover 10K hours, 10,000 hours you should be covering. When you cover 10,000 hours, you won't even come to report the progress. That is how you are gradually developing, and with this development, your mind is becoming more and more present, more and more peaceful, and the desire will gradually disappear. That's why after practicing 10,000 hours, nobody will come to present their progress, because the desire has disappeared. They know the practice for themselves. They know the peace for themselves. Gradually, it will come. Gradually, it will disappear. When you practice 10 hours, you have so much motivation. You have so much eager to report. When you practice 100 hours, you are so much motivated. You have this eager to report. When you practice 1,000 hours, still you have so much motivation. When you practice 5,000 hours, you just sit for the sake of sitting. You just walk for the sake of walking. And when you practice 10,000 hours, you simply meditate all the time. Whether it could be sitting, whether it could be walking, whether it could be day-to-day activities, you meditate. Simply, life becomes meditation. Living becomes meditation. That's how gradually you will develop. So take this time frame. If you can at least practice 5,000 hours. I know it's a big number. I know you live a busy life. But start with 2 hours per day. Try to continue for a few weeks, few months. When you do that, you realize gradually the numbers are adding. Gradually the numbers are adding. And with time, you realize it is not so much of a difficult target. You can gradually build your hours and gradually progress. But make sure that you have proper advice. Make sure that you participate in a proper discussion. And that way, you have to continue with your practice. Just because you sit, just because you walk, that doesn't mean you are meditating. You have to make sure that you are doing the right thing. You have to make sure that you meditate correctly. So that's why the reporting is important. That's why sharing experience is important. That's why discussion is important. That's why getting proper advice is important. That assures you that you are meditating. Otherwise, you'd simply sit and walk, but you don't know whether you are meditating or not. If you are meditating, then gradually when you cover, you can feel that your mind is naturally present. More and more, the mind accepts the present moment. More and more, peace you will have in your mind. A peace, not because you achieved something, instead, simply just because your mind is present. The bliss of the present moment is there always. Difficulties come. Pain is there. But you won't add to that pain. Bodily difficulties, day-to-day friction is there. But you are not adding to it. Instead, always there's this peace in your mind. The bliss, the peace of the present moment. So that's the idea I want to give today. Continue with your practice. Try to add more and more hours into practice and share your experience. Get advice, discuss your experience. And that day, if you continue for a few weeks, few months, few years, then definitely you can find peace in you. Not because you achieved something, just because simply your mind is present. The bliss, the peace is there in the present moment. Thank you for listening, and you may continue with your practice.
Much merits to Bhante for an excellent and insightful talk on the practice. I think we are on time to finish off the program. I think we will skip any questions based on the talk on today's session. I would like to thank Venerable Bhante Homakama Dhammaka Sula Thero for contributing from Bhante's own time and effort into this session on mindfulness for beginners. And we are drawing to the end of the year, and I'm sure all of you have recognized the merit of this practice and learning. So I would like you to invite all of you to continue joining the sessions in the next year in a similar manner, and to attentively and with dedication keep on practicing those time periods for mindful sitting and mindful walking sessions. I would also like to mention, with much respect, Venerable, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for his commitment and for his insightful request to create and run this program in this manner. And I would also like to thank all the organizers who have initiated, who have worked hard to initiate and maintain this, who are still dedicating effort to maintain this program at a high level of quality. I would also like to thank and express my gratitude for all those of you who are joining this session and making our contribution to be of high value, because this is intended for you to take some learning and apply in your practice of mindfulness. With that, I have put some messages into the Zoom chat section, and you can, I will invite all of you to mention this program to any persons who are interested in mindfulness. That could be Sri Lankan or non-Sri Lankan, foreigners even, and extend the word or message so that anyone who feels like attending can attend these sessions. So with that, I would wrap up the program, and I wish to thank Bhante again for his commitment and encouraging and insightful advice on practicing. And I would like to thank all of you, and also wish Bhante and all of you a very happy and mindful new year in 2023. And I hope sincerely that your practice will improve and provide you with many benefits in doing your day-to-day life and achieving the plans that you have for the new year. All the best for the new year, and see you next on the 7th of January in a similar format on the same program. Much merits, and thank you all. I will end the session now.